Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I had no idea that Jay Binkley was one of two people. Either a Blues Brothers fan, which I'm sure he is. I feel like he's a huge Jim Belushi guy. For sure watch the show, according to Jim. Or he's a Saturday Night Live fan, because that's what this music sounds like. And now, Jay Binkley. It's not Jay Binkley. He's asleep.
He's not. He's probably listening to his radio right now because he's a freak.
I'm Dusty Likens. I'm here with you on Sunday.
I'll put the banana away.
Steven Serta just gave you all the fantasy insight like 27 seconds ago. You can believe it. I would. He knows what he's talking about. I'm kind of biased, though, because we do a podcast together called Forced to Punt. You can check it out on the 435 Podcast Network. Again, Dusty Likens with you this Sunday morning until noon. Joshua Vernier, I don't know why I call him Joshua, I just do it every once in a while. He's on afterwards, Royals, and then the Chiefs slide right in at 3:25. It's going to be a fun Sunday. It's week two, NFL matchups. Grant, you ready to do this today? I got you over there. I like the way you're looking at me right now. It feels great. Already getting text messages after Curtis show's over. Stephon Diggs or DJ Shark. DJ, baby. I like the Minshew DJ connection. I know Serta doesn't disagree with that. He's nodding his head yes that he says go with DJ Shark. So there you go. Brian Hildebrand, there's your shout out for the day. I'm like Serta. I love Paris Campbell. Love him. I think he's going to have a big game today. I don't think there's a lot of people that really can give him contention for targets. I know T.Y. Hilton's still there. But let's be real. Big Phil likes Big Paris. But I want to start this show off not in like a Mahomes fashion. I know that a lot of people geeked out on his birthday this week. His numbers in September are absurd. They're an anomaly. He's 8-0 with a ton of touchdowns and zero losses and zero interceptions in the month of September. He's absolutely disgusting. But where I want to start is a quote that was given by Tyrann Mathieu this week. I don't have audio, but I do have a quote from the great website of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Good guy. Know him personally. But Tyrann Mathieu after the game when they won 34-20, which was basically dominated by the Chiefs. Tyrann Mathieu said, quote, I'm pissed off. Mathieu proclaimed in his post-game press conference, I felt like we played fairly decent up until the last couple of stretches in the fourth quarter, started giving up big plays, big chunks, things that weren't really necessarily doing throughout the game. In my mind, we have a lot more work to do. If we would have held these guys to 7 points, it would have been much better feeling. Those guys scoring 20 leaves a bad taste in our mouth. We got a lot of work to do. I'm looking forward to next week. There's many ways you can dissect this quote. One is the way that I'm going to do it for you. They still want more. And the fact that Tyrann Mathieu, the guy that basically after like week three stole everybody's heart. Because what Tyrann Mathieu does doesn't always scream at you from the stat sheet. You don't all, and he'll tell you that. He doesn't do things for stats. In fact, in that article from Arrowhead Pride that Pete Sweeney had just wrote, Big Sween, Tyrann Mathieu's not that type of guy. And when we talk about this team, about how great this team really can be because of number 15 and because of Andy Reid, and we'll get into both of those guys a little bit later in the show, but because of who the Chiefs are and because of the personalities on this team, the message itself is still clear. They still want more. And one is just not enough. And that's something that when you look at your team that you root for, So for you folks out there that enjoy watching the Chiefs game or are on your way to the grocery store to get you some Doigs and some Bagels to grill out for the game today, and you think to yourself, I'm really excited to see if Patrick Mahomes can throw 5 touchdowns today. I'm really excited to see if Tyreek Hill can catch 6 passes for 130 yards and a touchdown, which is what he tends to do against the Chargers. But when you watch the game today, now that you've lost yourself a year ago on that magical Super Bowl run that ended in Miami, hoisting the trophy up and everybody kissing it, and they won't do that anymore because of COVID. I feel like the Super Bowl trophy kiss is done. But the thing that's interesting about this Chiefs team is that you have guys like Tyrann Mathieu, who may not get the respect they deserve around the league when it comes to awards or when it comes to being recognized as one of the best players in the NFL, or if you want to count these NFL 100 lists, which I'll dive into a little bit later on why they piss me off. But when it comes to the message of this team, the message is clear that they still want more. And how many times have you seen teams get to the promised land? Or as Mitch Holthus said, which you can listen to Mitch Holthus every single Monday night if there's not a Royals game, starting at 6 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio with the Chiefs Kingdom Show with Mitch Holthus, 6 to 7 p.m., followed by the Therese Paylor Show, followed by myself with the Red Reaction Show Monday nights every Monday on 610 Sports Radio. But they still want more. And the message is clear. And if you don't think the message is clear from Tyrann Mathieu telling you that it leaves a bad taste in our mouth and it pisses me off, go look at Chris Jones. Chris Jones played out of his mind on Thursday night last week. A sack and a half. 6 tackles. Was assisted on 1 sack, but really doesn't need any assisting. Chris Jones, who a lot of people use the narrative in football that they play out of their mind before they get the contract, then they get the contract and they disappear. Chris Jones was proving to everybody, not just Kansas City, not just to the 16,000 plus that came to watch that game on Thursday night. He showed Houston, he showed the NFL, he showed doubters and haters and believers, everybody out there, that he wants more and that it's not about getting paid. It's about getting trophies and rings to this team and the respect that they want. And you'll notice throughout this show today that that's kind of the snowball that we're going to try to make out of what this day is. Because I get it. They won the Super Bowl. Everybody's still high on it. Today you're going to rock your LIV shirts. You're going to do your thing. Stay with the Chiefs. But to the team, that's over. Go back to when they got their ceremonial rings. They watched the video, the flag raise. They watched it, and then they turned around, straight business. Not every team does that. That's why it's easy to believe in this Chiefs team. They're all in again. And that's some scary stuff for the rest of the NFL. And the thing that's even more scary is this team's best hasn't yet even shown yet. And that to me, folks, that to me is scary as hell. Because when you look at what this team did in 2018, what this team did in 2019, and now what this team could possibly do in 2020, what's really scary is nobody got to have a preseason game. So everybody's kind of just like starting out fresh. Chiefs won by 14. Could have won by more. Week one against a team that's probably supposed to be one of the top 4 teams in the AFC. This Chiefs team has a new addition in the backfield. Offensively, right? One of the best offenses we've seen for quite some time. Denver's with Peyton Manning when he threw for 50-plus touchdowns. But they added a running back. Now, granted, I thought they were going to go linebacker. Baltimore took who I thought they were going to take. So then it's back to the whole like fantasy aspect, best player available. But this team's best has yet to come, and that, to me, is the scariest possible outcome. They want more. They're proving they want more. You can see by the way they play in that first game, they were more prepared. And again, this might be more on Bill O'Brien, but they were more prepared to come back this year in that first game and send a message. They won 34-20. And the reason why I feel like this team wants it more and they still want more, and the reason why they are scary as hell when it comes to the rest of the NFL is because all of that into that mentality with that much talent on the field, like today, you could separate yourself from another team, a division team. You could separate yourself so far, and I do think they will. I think the game today is one of those games like it was last week, and this is something that you're going to find a new trend with the Chiefs, is that when they're in so much control and their offense is really rolling, by the third quarter, midway through the third quarter, you might start to become bored. Because it's not like it was 4 years ago where they could be up 28-14 with just one quarter left, or 31-14, and then all of a sudden it's 31-21, 31-28, 31-31. You're like, what in the hell just happened? Now, and I know you Chiefs fans out there have not been used to this. You're not accustomed to this, but start getting there. And I'm not saying that you're going to get bored watching football. I don't believe that. But when a team like this team wants more and they're scary good and they can keep doing it and they prove it to you, they're going to start being able to put the grip on the throat of teams and just end it. Like, I know that what Tyrann Mathieu said, and I know how this team felt after that game, but this team never really had a choice other than winning against the Texans. It was never worrisome. It was never concerning. And in fact, I hate to sound like a spoiled brat, but by the third quarter, I was arms crossed on the couch like, man, this is kind of boring. They're just checking it down. They're just running it to Clyde. He's got 130 at this point. He ended with a 158. Get used to it, because that's one of the best teams in the NFL, according to researchers and statistics in the AFC, the Texans. Now, granted, they're going to get a test next week against Baltimore. They play a division foe today, and they'll play New England in a few weeks as well. But this team wants more. This team's all about it. And again, what Tyrann Mathieu said, I'm pissed off. I felt like we played fairly decent up until the last couple of stretches in the fourth quarter. Started giving up big plays, big chunks, things that weren't necessarily doing throughout the game. In my mind, we have a lot more work to do. If we would held those guys to 7 points, it would have been a much better feeling. Those guys scoring 20 leaves a bad taste in our mouth. We got a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to next week. They won 34-20 against one of the better contenders in the AFC. They still want more. They still want to be better than they already were. And by the way, they're defending champions. You can see hate, and you can speak hate on LeBron James all you want, until I tell you next how Mahomes is the next to see this type of slander.
Big Sunday.
Oh, Grant. Grant, I'm worried about this topic. I teased it really well coming out of the break, or going into the break. But I'm worried that people are a little bit further than me on this topic coming forward than maybe some are. By the way, this is Grant's request. For those of you that are geeks and nerds like he and I are, the next American phenom, Christian Pulisic, goes up against my Liverpool Reds. Breaks my heart to say that. In about 15 minutes. So if you want to see the next great American soccer player before you see the next great Super Bowl running dynasty team at 325, check it out. He's insane. He'll be on the U.S. national team. They might actually make a World Cup qualifier. They will. He's that damn good. Anyways, when it comes to LeBron James and Patrick Mahomes, people say, whoa. Best basketball player in the world? Best football player in the world. I think that's a fair assumption to make. I think when you think about Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, there are many reasons why you would put him as the best player in the NFL. And there's going to be comparisons between greats in every sport, right? People look at all sports around the world. Who's the best baseball player in the world right now? Mike Trout. Who's the best basketball player in the world right now? LeBron James. Who's the best football player in the world right now? Patrick Mahomes. And when guys like LeBron James say this,
piss me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off more than anything. Not saying that, the winner wasn't deserving of the MVP. But that pissed me off. And I finished second a lot in my career, either from a championship and now four times as an MVP. Like I said, I never came into this league saying, let me be an MVP or be a champion. I've always said, I just want to get better and better every single day. And those things that take care of yourself. There's some things that's just out of my hand and some things you can't control. But it pissed me off.
I understand why there's a lot of people maybe in this area, or maybe there's just a lot of people in general that take that as LeBron James crying. I don't. For me, I've had this debate in my head and with some people before several times, that there should just be two awards when it comes to value and best in any sport. Because you can say the athletes that we just mentioned, right? Trout, James, Mahomes. They are by far, without a shadow of a doubt, the best, most valuable player of all those sports every single year. I don't care if somebody throw, like Lamar Jackson last year, right? The Ravens probably aren't who they are without Lamar Jackson. But they still won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. Granted, they had a really good defense. The Chiefs aren't anywhere near who they are with Patrick Mahomes. Do you want to go back to the loss against Tennessee or the loss against Pittsburgh in the playoffs when they didn't score a touchdown and they beat you with field goals and Boswell beat you? You want to go back to the Lynn Elliott days? You want to go back 50 years? Without Mahomes, the Chiefs aren't who they are. Alex Smith was a great quarterback, won a lot of games. Didn't win the ones that mattered. You want to go back to that Colts game when you were down, when you were up by so much, like we just talked about in the first segment, how now with this team and this regime, they can grab you by the throat and end it at any point once they get a lead and you don't have to worry about it. And that's Mahomes' value. How were the Lakers 2 years ago, 3 years ago? How was Cleveland before LeBron got there? How many championships did they win before LeBron got there? Zero. How was Miami? Decent. They had a big team. But LeBron was the reason that put him over the top. Wade won with Shaq. Shaq was that guy. But every single year, somebody does win an MVP. So not every single year, but most years, somebody wins the most quote-unquote valuable player award that isn't necessarily the most valuable player. They just had what I think is the best season. And I think you're going to start to see that with Patrick Mahomes and in the NFL. Kobe Bryant lost two MVPs to Steve Nash because Steve Nash had just better seasons. He wasn't more valuable to his team. Kobe was more valuable to his team. The Lakers wouldn't have been as successful without Kobe. Nobody would have been able to feed Shaq. Nobody would have been the floor general. RIP to the Mamba. But Mahomes is in the same boat, and if he can stay healthy for this season, he should win MVP every year. The Chiefs are just significantly not the same without him. And again, if you want to go back 50 years and wait again, that's how it is with LeBron James. They're the most valuable player of their league. Now, Trout's kind of an anomaly because the Angels suck. But it's clear that that team is not who they are without him. They'd be worse, which is kind of hard to believe. And baseball can be different when it comes to valuable players because sometimes pitchers can be the most valuable. But what I'm saying is LeBron and Mahomes are going to have a lot of comparisons because every year that Mahomes plays, week one, 200 plus yards, three touchdowns at ease. Only got sacked once, didn't turn the ball over. Mahomes has potential every year to put up what an MVP numbers are. LeBron James, same way. But what happens with this, and my theory is, that you just can't give it to the best player every year because it waters it down. and then it doesn't mean as much. It also gives people reasons to continue to strive and to make it think that it's not favorited. But the MVP every year in the NFL should probably go to Patrick Mahomes unless he misses significant time with injury or has a really down year, which I don't see that coming anytime soon because he hasn't stopped. And was there a chance that he could have won it last year? Because by the time they were going into Denver, it could have been a three-man race. Lamar, Russell, Patrick. And it should be that this year. Maybe throw in Deshaun Watson and maybe give Christian McCaffrey a little bit of credit because he's pretty valuable to the Panthers, but they're just so bad that people don't see that. But if you act like you don't care that LeBron James cries in your mind that he's mad they didn't win MVP, Giannis wins the MVP, who's in the playoffs right now? Not the Bucks. It's LeBron James and the Lakers. LeBron James is a four-time NBA MVP. Four-time. He's been in the league 17 years. Patrick Mahomes is a one-time MVP. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He's been in the league 3 years as a starter, year three. And you know who really does care about this? Are the same kind of people that get pissed off when the NFL does a list of the top 100 players and LeBron and Patrick Mahomes comes up on the list fourth. You really think the NFL writers and people think Aaron Donald's the best player in the NFL? He's damn good. He's two. Mahomes is one. But you know what that does? It strikes up controversy. It keeps people talking. It keeps people striving to prove their point. And if you remember what Mahomes said when he was fourth on the list, there was an office gif where instead of Ryan writing down the notes, it was Patrick Mahomes' face on Ryan's face, writing down saying, fourth, huh? Mahomes did that. You don't think it aggravates him? He's 24, LeBron's in his mid-30s. Mahomes doesn't win MVP, it's probably going to piss him off. And he's probably going to be like, you know what? It pisses me off. So when you hear guys like LeBron.
Piss me off.
Absolutely, it pisses you off. You're the best player. You strive to be the best player. You spend your whole life proving to people that you're the best player. Patrick Mahomes didn't win a Heisman Trophy in college. Didn't have to. Been in the league 3 years. He's already won a Super Bowl. He's been to two AFC championship games. He won a Super Bowl MVP. You try to tell me somebody else deserves MVP every year. So don't get too mad at LeBron when he says, oh, it pisses me off, or it makes me sad, or makes you think that he's crying about it. It's not what it is. It's not what it is. They know, you know, and we know who the best player is every year. And if they won it every year, it would dilute it. Wouldn't make as much sense. Make two awards. Give somebody the best season. Give somebody the most valuable player in the world. And remember, you don't think it pisses Mahomes off. He was pretty viral about it when it came out that he was fourth on the list of just a top 100 list. But I said it Monday night on the Red Reaction Show, and I still stand by it. I've had five sleeps. But I did think on it.
Big Sunday.
It's 10:30. We're cooking along. So much sports content. It feels, Grant, like we're on a whole different world now. You have a major in the golf world. You've got the next American phenom playing right now for Chelsea. You've got the Chiefs at 3 o'clock, the Royals at noon. Vern comes up at noon. Royals at 1, actually. It's like we're in a whole new day. Don't forget Jay Binkley. Chiefs postgame show, Chiefs pregame show. Or Chiefs postgame show, I'm sorry, Jay Binkley. I will actually, this year, it's a new thing. I will actually join Jay Binkley in postgame shows because I'm a nerd and I enjoy it. It's fun to me. I have a lot of fun with Jay Binkley when we're on the air together. So tune in for the Chiefs postgame show tonight after they, I think, beat the Chargers by 20 plus. Mark it down. Put it in your book. I know that there's a lot of people out there like, hey. Division teams, man, they always are tough, especially on the road. That's fine. I hope that when Patrick Mahomes is somewhere in that stadium today, he writes on like somewhere in the seat in the locker room, see ya in 2 years. Because in 2 years, they're going to play the Super Bowl in that stadium. That stadium is something else. They're going to talk about it all day today. You also get Jim Nance and Tony Romo today on the broadcast. Adam Schefter tweets, and we'll get into this a little bit later. This is kind of funny. Adam Schefter tweets from ESPN. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid will wear the same face shield, but it'll have an NHL-style defogging technology added to it. Oh, my goodness. We will dive into that face shield because I'll tell you what, man. Travis Kelce got me in my feels the same way that I was saying to my friends on Thursday night about how Andy Reid looked. But you got to pay off your teases in this industry. And like I said, on the Red Reaction Show, you can join us every Monday night. Not this Monday. Every Monday night, 8 to 9 o'clock, immediately following the Therese Paylor Show with Jay Binkley and Therese Paylor. That also succeeds Mitch Holthus's Chiefs Kingdom Show. Feel free to text in all day today. Let me know how you're feeling. Got any fantasy questions? You don't have to ask Cert anymore because he doesn't win his leagues. He doesn't win trophies. I do. I've won my league back-to-back years, so let me give you the advice. And don't worry, in the Force to Punt podcast, I'm in the picture with him. We know who the better look. I mean, just look at my hair in that picture. I am all about myself in that picture. But let's pay off the tease. Monday night, Red Reaction Show, I said that this Chiefs offense is going to be better than the 2018 offense. And people were like, whoa! Do you remember that 2018 offense? That offense that had Kareem Hunt, Mahomes throwing 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. No, I remember it. But this offense can be better than the 2018 offense. And like I said in the tease, I've slept on this. I've spent 6 days thinking about this. One of my buddies in St. Louis that listens, he says, man, Dusty, that was a bold, bold statement. That offense was dangerous. Well, that offense was dangerous at times because it had to be. That offense in 2018 was constantly playing tug of war with other teams because that defense was so horrendous because Bob Sutton just was Bob Sutton. Man, that feels like an eternity that Bob Sutton was on this team. He always reminds me of Mr. Geppetto for some reason from Pinocchio. Just without the mustache. But like that's to me what like he looks like. That's what I feel like Bob Sutton is doing right now. It's just making wooden creatures. But when it comes to this offense can be so much better than 2018. It starts with, to pay homage to this show, Bink Sunday, 913-576-7610. That's crazy. 913-576-7610 is the number. It's also the text number. Feel free to throw them in there. Jones Jr. or Slayton. Slayton. Non-PPR. Should I play Michael Gallup or Sanders? Sanders. And when it comes to this offense, and like what Jay Binkley calls the Louisiana hot sauce, which you'll hear that for another 1,700 times, because that's his nickname for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde can be better than Kareem Hunt. And I know that you've probably all just watched Thursday Night Football this week where Kareem Hunt showed signs of that 2018 Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, if he can play like that, is a top five back in the NFL, and I'm not afraid to say that. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, let's go back to Thursday night 2 weeks ago. Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't even really catch a ball. He had two targets, didn't catch one of them. We've seen how dominant he can be on the ground in one game against a very solid defensive line. Hit 25 for 158, currently leads the NFL in rushing. Hello. Who led the NFL in 2008 in rushing when the Chiefs had the best offense in the league? Kareem Hunt. This team will forever be a pass-first offense. As long as Andy Reid's here and as long as Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are here, they will always be pass-heavy. They weren't Thursday night. Mahomes threw for just over 200 yards but had three touchdowns. This offense is now more seasoned, and to me, that gets more and more dangerous every single year. Nobody's going anywhere. You lost Dustin Colquitt, and you got Tommy Townsend, who has probably the sexiest hair in the NFL. Like, I get excited for the Chiefs to punt because those locks start flowing out on the field. That's the only reason why I'm excited they punt. And they don't really punt much, so it's kind of fun to watch. But they become more of a team and they gel better. They've added an elusive running back. This team's getting better and better the more they play together, which is dangerous because they've really technically only been playing together for 2 years, so it's still fairly fresh. And it's only a matter of time until Andy Reid gets past syllabus week with this playbook. Before the walkthroughs and the rust gets shaken off. Before the kinks and the gadgets have to fully be in there. Because I'll be honest with you, I really only saw one new play in that game last Thursday night. Because they didn't have to. They were so far advanced from Houston, at least in that game, at this point in the season. Again, it's week one, small sample size. But Andy only showed one wrinkle. And if you remembered, it was that tight end screen to Travis Kelce where there was all that misdirection and you could just feel Houston being like, oh no. Mecole Hardman came in the backfield, got a linebacker out of place. Travis Kelce came over like almost on like a little bubble screen, caught it, and then went for 15 yards. And then Houston was like, okay, whoa. Okay, Andy's face mask is starting to fog up a little bit more. Things are getting a little bit more serious. What are they doing? And then all of a sudden, it was like they just went back to the P's and Q's. Cross the T's, dot the I's, get down the field because that touchdown that Sammy Watkins caught, that was from the Super Bowl. I remember watching that play against San Francisco. But I felt like in that game, they only played their B-style offense. They didn't have to do that, which goes back to the topic that I led the show with. That this team is so far beyond every other team as of right now in the NFL season that the rest of the season, the NFL is going to have to play catch-up to the Kansas City Chiefs. They brought everybody back. They're using the hashtag, run it back. They want this more than anybody else. And if you watch that series over this pandemic of The Last Dance and you followed some Chiefs players on Twitter, they took that documentary pretty damn seriously. Like, I watched it for nostalgia. Like, I don't really remember early Jordan, but I remember the Jordan versus the Jazz. And I remember when Jordan went into baseball, so I was into The Last Dance for that. It appears these guys went into this Last Dance documentary series as almost like a teaching lesson, almost like a TED Talk. And that's why I think this team's offense can be better than 2018. They have Clyde. They've got Tyreek Hill, who's not on his second year. They have Travis Kelce, who is now, without a shadow of a doubt, the best tight end in football. They have Sammy Watkins as a third option. And they have Mecole Hardman, who's a second-year Jet, who hasn't even really been sprinkled into the game plan. Oh, and by the way, that defense that's better than it was in 2018 can now give that ball to this offense even more, which then gives them more chances to score. And like Jay Binkley has a theory, as you're listening to Bink Sundays with your host Dusty Likens, as Jay Binkley will be here for postgame tonight, Jay Binkley thinks the offensive production and numbers will go down. I tend to disagree, and I'll defend that in a little bit later. But I just think that this offense can be better than 2018 because of three big factors. One, who they drafted as the 32nd overall pick in last year's draft, or this year's draft. Two, the fact that this team is more seasoned and that this team can really bond together and gel more and that they've really brought everybody back. And with no preseason, this team can really just keep moving forward with just adding little by little. Like, they beat a team by 14 points with only using one real wrinkle of a new playbook. And then the third reason why, I really truly think that they watch that documentary and they want to be that. They want to be that team that when they go out on the field, they beat you, they beat the hell out of you, and they don't care because there's no time to be soft. You're in this league for not a very long time, and you've got to win, and you got to win now, and Jordan's everybody that they chase. Everybody wants six rings. That's the Mecca. That's where you got to get Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Patrick Mahomes. This team, this offense, with time and dedication and the hunger that they seem to have, will be better than that 2018 offense. I promise you. And I think today might be the day where they kind of break it out, and I hope they do. But also, I've had a theory for a full year and a half now, and I think others are starting to see it. I think we're about 6 weeks away from it, but I think sometime this season it takes over and more people around the nation have this same theory.
Big Sunday.
Grant, you familiar with what the term Sunday scaries are?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you get. I think Steve had some of those today. For those of you that are not into it with the technology, what am I talking about?
That's a rough look from you, Dusty.
For those of you that aren't with it when it comes to Sunday scaries, that is just a terminology that has started where you're a little bit, you're a little hungover on Sunday. You're hanging a little bit. You feel bad. The day's not as fun as it should be. Well, here's something that I think can make your day. Give you a little bit of hope. You know, sometimes I like to do things nice for people. Give them a bottle of wine out of the kindness of my heart. Because my buddy owns the Red Door Wine Store in Lee Summit. Shout out Paul Westfall. He only gets one. That's all I told him. Then he can start paying me. He can talk to Susie in sales if he wants to get going even more than that. Sometimes you cook dinner for somebody when they get off work late, they come over. And sometimes you're Brett Veach. Breaking news from Adam Schefter after Plaza Liquor Store's Katie Cam on Twitter spotted Chiefs employees buying bottles of Dom Perignon. And she became the first report that a Patrick Mahomes extension could be coming. When in fact it was a Chris Jones signing, you all remember that? Well, today, she got a little gift from the Chiefs GM, Brett Veach, and two of the players. After Katie spotted a Chiefs employee buying bottles of Dom Perignon, she became the first to report that Patrick Mahomes' extension could be coming. Chiefs GM, Brett Veach, sent her a bottle of Dom Perignon autographed by Mahomes and Chris Jones, with also a letter that says, Katie, we had one bottle left and we figured you would appreciate it the most. Signed, Go Chiefs, Brett Veach. Oh, by the way, the bottle signed by Mahomes and Chris Jones. So, during the break, Grant and I said, you can't ever drink that bottle. You've got to put that on a shelf and you got to flex the hell out of that thing anytime somebody comes to your crib. Hey, Amy, how's it going tonight? Oh, good. Hey, watch out. Watch that bottle. It's not really huge. It's signed by Mahomes and Chris Jones. Maybe you've heard of them. Should we open up and drink it? No. I work at a liquor store. I'll just go get another one. Half price. Employee discount. Probably doesn't exist. Good for them. Good for them. That's a really good move by the Chiefs. It's stories like that that debunk my theory that I just had for the last year and a half. Remember Brandon Kiley? Great guy. St. Louis is where he's at now. Talk show host. Good for him. I like Brandon Kiley. Brandon Kiley started this week on Twitter sharing a theory that I've had for a year and a half. And when this offense started in 2018 and started rolling and they started being able to do whatever they wanted to do and more personalities started to come out, more and more players started to show what the talent level they had, more so 15, we used the comp of the Golden State Warriors. They were an offense that was electric. They were a team that nobody had seen before, and they couldn't be stopped. To kind of bury into those bullet points, they were also a team that could be down 14-0, feel depleted, and then out of nowhere, it was like touchdown, 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 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, you're down by 14. Just like when you would watch the Golden State Warriors in 2016, 2017. They'd be down like 42-18 in the first half, or in the first quarter. Didn't really play good defense, didn't hit a couple of their shots. Then by the time you get to halftime, the Warriors are up like 86-53. And you're like, what in the hell just happened? Steph Curry went on a run. Draymond couldn't be stopped on defense. Klay Thompson went 6-for-6. He's got 18 points. He got all his points from the arc. Mahomes throws three touchdowns against Oakland last year, and you're like, oh, my Lord. But if you remember, the joy and the fun with the Warriors didn't last long. And I feel that Mahomes and company will become more and more like those Warriors. I just feel it's inevitable. Reasons why is that they just have that confident swag. They have that swagger when they're on the field, where even off the field, if you follow them on social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you just kind of get that feeling that it doesn't matter because they're better than you and you know it. You get that feeling that at any point, they're just going to go off. Tyreek Hill's the fastest receiver in the league, and he can do things that nobody else can do. Patrick Mahomes, same boat, without the speed. He does things that nobody else can do. And they have that confident swagger. And if you don't believe me, at the end of the season last year, the only thing these players were saying was championship swagger. They owned it, they brought it, and they won it. The other thing that really makes me think that they can become hated by everybody other than the Kansas City faithful is because they have more than one dominating personality on the team, and they're not all the same. Now, more and more people hated the Warriors once Kevin Durant got there because they didn't need that. And to me, that would be like the Chiefs kind of getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, they didn't need a top 10 running back, but they got one. That's not in the same boat. It would be more so like if like Derrick Henry came to the Chiefs. That's kind of like the Kevin Durant move. Like, seriously? And that causes hatred. And I get that. And the Chiefs haven't done that yet. Yet. They haven't seeked out like a veteran that's like still got some prime years left to just make this team that much more rambunctiously crazy good. But they have more than one strong personality on this team. They've got Frank Clark, who said, quote, "Let them nuts hang blood." You remember Frank Clark after the AFC Championship game where he was like, "Everyone will respect me when they put a ring on my MF'ing finger." He let James Palmer just have it. By the way, that's one of the best interviews I think I've ever seen someone conduct. That Palmer interview, the way that he did it, he asked two questions and he finished it and said, "Go celebrate." Because he got Frank going. I mean, he got Frank in there. He got Frank ready to roll. Chris Jones, another personality that's different but strong. Tyrann Mathieu, another one that's different and strong. Patrick Mahomes, boy wonder. You saw what that man walked into the Chargers facility with yesterday? That blue striped suit? Tell you what, Travis Kelce, I don't need to talk about his personality. The man had his own dating show. You look at Travis Kelce, you fall in love, man or woman. I don't care who you are. You see that man, you want to give yourself a goatee. I want to give myself a goatee. I'm not, because then I would look like Al from Al's Toy Barn in Toy Story 2. But this team has so much personality and so much grit and so much confidence that that becomes stale to everybody else other than the metro area fans. They have an out-of-this-universe superstar, just like the Warriors had Steph Curry. We've never seen a three-point shooter like Steph Curry, and it might be some time until we see another one. Just a pure heart dagger thrower like Steph Curry. The other reason why people tend to hate teams like the Chiefs and the Warriors, because they win a lot, and they do it at an easy pace. Kind of like we said at the beginning of the show. When you watched this Chiefs-Texans game last Thursday, you might have got a little bored in the third quarter. Because they put up 34 at the end of the game, obviously, but they were never out of it. They were never in a worrisome fashion, way, shape, or form that they could slip and lose this lead. They got the lead, they didn't lose the lead, and there was never an issue in your mind that you had to worry about that game. And as a society, teams that win and win often and hoist championships are soon hated. And not like gradually soon, like really soon. And the best way that I can give you an example of how this team can become hated very, very quickly is at the start of this season. Because I'm telling you what, Jack, they're going to play Houston. They play the Chargers this week. They play the Ravens. And then they play New England. And the top five teams in the NFL right now, to me, are the Chiefs, are the Ravens, are the Patriots, are the Steelers, and are the Houston Texans. And if the Chiefs, if the Chiefs beat Houston, which they did, beat Baltimore, which they could, and then beat New England, in the first 5 weeks of the season, technically the AFC is over. And what does that do to everybody else? Well, that sucks. Now there's really no chance. There's no reason to watch this now because we know who the best team in the AFC is. Now, granted, we have a lot of football left after that, and you play the playoffs for a reason. But when teams are consistently good and they do it to where it looks easy and they have something that no one else has, people tend to get jealous of that. And jealousy is just love disguised by hate. And that's exactly what everybody's going to be. That's what everybody is in the NBA. People don't like Steph Curry because he chews on his mouthpiece now. He was doing that in the start of the run. People don't like Draymond Green because he punches people in the goods. Dennis Rodman did it for the Bulls. He kicked a cameraman in the nuts. Literally. And the Chiefs haven't added an unnecessary superstar to make a team that's already good, well over the top. But it could come. Because eventually veterans that don't win are going to want to win and they're going to be drawn to that type of success. So again, you look at it all. They keep dominating at an easy fashion and these personalities continue to spread. You're going to see a lot of people start being like, yeah, Chiefs are annoying. I don't want to watch the Chiefs. It's stupid. Can't play with them on Madden. They're too good. Don't draft them in fantasy because they're not fair. Everyone that's a Chiefs fan, draft Chiefs players. It's okay. But what I will tell you for comfort, enjoy it. Embrace it. They hate you because they ain't you. And you've never had this feeling in Kansas City with your football team. Just because people get annoyed by you and don't like you doesn't necessarily mean that they really truly hate you. Hate, again, is just love disguised by, or wait, jealousy is just hate disguised by love. Or love is just hate disguised by jealousy. Whatever you want to call it. Chiefs will be hated by many. I screwed that quote up, but one thing I didn't screw up is the Chiefs should show everyone in 2 weeks how much better they are than everybody else. Yes, I know who they play in 3 weeks.
Big Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.